So I had a dream about McDonald's last night, since we were just talking about it.
You too? Yeah.
I'm on this Yahoo Japan auctions right now.
Oh, YJA. I look at Yahoo Japan auctions all the time.
I'm here because, I worked on this game, Mega Man Legacy Collection, about 5 years ago.
And I
kind of decided that's probably the only physical game I would ever work on, which turned out to not be true. But still, I went down a quest of making sure I just had one of each version of the stupid thing. Recently, Capcom released an anthology box set of the last five Mega Man games in Japan.
And they
did a PS4 and a Switch version. And if they were the normal retail games, I would just ignore it. But there's two things here. One is that there was never a standalone Switch version of my game until this box set. It was packaged with the sequel that they made. So kind of want that. And then the PS4 version was never on disc in Japan. So in order to get these two additional copies of my game, I have to buy 10 games.
Man, that rules.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that in Japan, Yahoo.com isn't called Banzai.com?
That's pretty good.
I made the executive decision that I don't need every version of every physical game I've worked on, because if I did that, I mean, you know, the Xbox version of Capcom Classics Collection Volume 2, like, you know.
Sure.
Right.
Doesn't make sense.
So I think for me, it's just the two that I actually directed that, you know, I mean, there's only two that I actually directed was Mega Man and SNK. SNK is a very limited set, so I'm fine. Mega Man, they just keep making new versions of.
Yeah.
And people like Mega Man.
People love that guy. I'm going to tell you what, I made a decision to never own any physical copies of games that I worked on because I don't want them in the house.
Nice.
I know that sounds like a joke. However, it's true. I remember asking Goichi Suda if I could have a free copy of a game that I'd done something for. And he said, no, all these free copies that we got from the publisher, we're sending it with our New Year's cards to other companies. And they're it's like they had like 30 free copies and they like put one in an envelope and it's like to Hideo Kojima. And I'm like, oh, you should give copies to, first of all, there's not enough free copies, I think, I don't think I'd actually deserved one given the limited quantity of free copies that they managed to receive from Marvelous,
not very many.
The publisher. However, they could have given a couple to a couple of the people that worked on them instead of sending a free copy to Hideo Kojima and Toshihiro Nagoshi and a bunch of people who might not ever play it. And then they did the same thing for No More Heroes 2. They didn't give me a free copy of that either. So I said, you know what? Heck it. I don't want any free copies of any video games that I've ever contributed anything to.
I have physical copies of all the games I worked on. So
nice.
Congratulations.
Yeah, all zero. Let's go on and record this show because I do not have a lot of time this week.
Let's go.
Nobody does. Let's go.
It's Craig's show.
Craig.
I don't like this. Is Craig the new joke name for a guy? That was something I asked last time.
Yeah, we've done this already. Yeah.
Yeah. Is Craig the new joke name for a guy? That's the new funny name?
If I recall, my response was that it used to be Steve.
Yeah. I mean, it was Steve for what period of time? Our generation? Is that what we're saying?
I think it was the entirety of our generation. Yes.
Steve is like a funny name.
Yeah.
There was a period of time where I wanted to change my first name to Steve.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Steve Jaffe?
Yeah, it just sounded better to me. Yeah.
Hi, Steve Jaffe here.
Yeah. Doesn't that sound better than Alex Jaffe?
I don't know,
when you say Alex, then yeah, that sounds horrible. But if you say Alex naturally, then sounds great.
I think Alex
but that's
Jaffe
how it's pronounced, though. It's pronounced Alex.
Alex.
Yeah. Like
you're not Alexa. You're Alex.
I think Alex Jaffe has a pretty good flow to it. If you incorporate the slowdown necessary to pronounce a final S in English, Alex Jaffe. There's a little stop. There's a little slow to a stop, a deceleration.
I don't know. There. It sounds like I'm the Jaffe of Alec. I am belonging to Alec.
Alex. Anyone Kathy. Thinks that. No.
That's I don't know. In English, I think we would in American English, we would be enunciating a different portion of the Lex syllable. Oh, that's Alex Jaffe.
Yeah.
Right. I think you're
even then.
Which
hard
Jaffe
time
are you? Alex
it.
Jaffe.
Yeah. You're just giving yourself a hard time at this point.
Yeah.
Is what you're doing. I think
be your own biggest bully is what I always say.
Yeah, be your own. They say you're your own harshest critic, which is something they say. However, having looked at my own email inbox somewhat recently, I actually don't think I am. I think during the filming of my Doom video, I yelled, "Shoot me in the neck with a bow and arrow," about like 400 times when I messed up a line. It was just my self-deprecation flavor of the day.
Right.
However, that's got god darn nothing on one of the emails I got today. Lord. So that's all we'll give for the bonus episode there. I'm looking at the Twitter. You ever look at that? You ever take a look at the Twitter?
I've seen it.
Yes.
It's pretty weird.
Have any of you had the odd thought about how outsized Twitter's influence is relative to its like user numbers? Because Twitter is like what number 15 or something in terms of number of users of all the social media platforms. And
yeah, that's because like teens don't use it, yeah, right?
Teens don't use it. It's only like 30 to 50 year old.
Yeah. Right. In other words, freaks.
Yeah. Yeah. And so because 30 to 50 year olds write it, it's often quoted and cited in news articles and stuff or on TV because all the people working on that stuff are on it. But it's like, what is it? Like a hundred? No, it's less than 100 million. It's like 80 million people or something are on it. And like Facebook has a billion or whatever. And then Instagram has almost a billion. And it's just like, it's weird. It's weird.
It's
thinking,
wild to me that. Yeah, editors are probably thinking Twitter's where you go to get adult thoughts about things.
Right.
Yeah, when really instead it's where you go to see people quote retweeting the president.
Yeah.
Or like tweeting a picture of a baby and saying, "I'm this baby," you know?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's right. This baby is me. And it's also weird that despite being so toxic and terrible, Twitter is actually like a little better than a lot of the other big ones in some ways. And like despite
the big ones
being owned by Jack, who is like, he's not explicitly a fascist, but he's not one.
He's friendly.
Here's a good,
to them.
Yeah. Here's a good idea for a tweet that anybody could use. You know, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
What if he was Dalton Trumbo?
Oh, that's I don't know about that.
Yeah.
That confuses me.
Yeah. So you can go ahead and use that if you want. Yeah,
you mean in the aspect that they're both the targets of a witch hunt?
Right. Exactly.
Oh, that's my political content
so
for the
Dalton
month.
Dalton Trumbo is an actual person?
Yeah.
He
was a screenwriter who was blacklisted during the McCarthy
Spartacus.
Era.
I get it.
Yeah, he wrote Spartacus.
Oh, God, Spartacus.
He secretly wrote a lot of movies while he was not allowed to write movies because he was too communist.
And he was also just too much of a guy who wants to write movies. He couldn't stop. He couldn't control himself. He loved writing them. You ever write a movie and then have somebody tell you not to write another one? It's hard.
That's when you want to write them the most.
Did I tell y'all about our near brush with getting a movie made after high school where we wrote this screenplay, A Samurai in the Land of Pirates and Cowboys. And
lol, random.
We did it. Well, but this was 1999, so it was a little bit before all of that.
It was before you could buy like t-shirts with that on it.
Yeah.
Back then, Twitter would have called it progressive.
Indeed. You couldn't like,
I don't know what that means.
Pride and Prejudice and Zombies was many years away at this point.
Man, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies sucks.
Yeah, it does. I bought
no
it and then I was
it.
Like, why did I buy this? But
I read it standing up in an airport bookstore.
We put it into NYU, even though I didn't go to NYU, we put it into NYU's script library because two out of the three of us that wrote that went to NYU. I went to USC. I was the black sheep. And Max Wong expressed interest in the script and we were like, holy crap. Max Wong, director of, I forget, some, like, they were doing some big stuff at that time.
That's as much Wong as you can get.
Yeah, you can't get any more than that.
Sounds like you're in the Wong place at the Wong time.
Yeah.
Oh!
And then what happened was we wrote them a letter saying, like, what do you call it? We said, "Dear Mr. Wong, we would love to make this movie with you." And then it turned out that Max was short for Maxine. And never heard back from her.
Ooh.
Wow.
That just shows you what presuming people's genders can get you. Nothing.
Yeah.
It can get you -1 movies.
Yeah.
Looking at Max Wong right now on the internet to see who the first Max Wong that comes up is.
What's it like to have -1 movies?
Ask Brandon.
Yeah. So Max Wong was actually mostly a producer and was at that time producing things like Disturbing Behavior and Bring It On.
Bring It On.
Yeah, not too bad.
Did they ever?
Yeah, so, but it never really, it just didn't pan out.
Yeah, I'm going to check out Hades. Hades looks interesting.
Yeah, I think Hades.
Hades. I'm going to play that game as well later.
Yeah, I got to play it.
Not today, mate.
I wish that I liked those Supergiant games.
Are they too big for you?
They're too big. It makes me feel really bad because I know a lot of the people and I like them. And then I look at these games and then I feel like I must not know anything because I don't want to play them. The voiceover thing doesn't really work.
In Bastion,
for me,
that didn't blow your mind that you're playing a video game and it's being narrated in a dramatic voice, which if you close your eyes and just listen to it, makes it sound like something really boring is being described.
Well,
the cognitive dissonance was Grand Canyon-esque. I mean, when I first played that game,
I don't want to hate on the stuff because it is all it's very purposefully put together, and like, but everyone is all horny for these Hades characters, and they love all the. I was watching the trailer, and the trailer sounded like the VO had been done. It sounded like they specifically asked the actors to not drink anything for 2 hours before recording. Because
the thirsty technique, yeah.
It was full of saliva mouth sounds. And
Well, that's usually what it sounds like when I have drank something before doing a voiceover recording. Usually I refrain from, for example, if you watch my Doom video, I did not drink anything for a period of 18 hours. It was really, really rough. So I did that for the voice quality. It's usually what I do when I'm recording voiceover.
I guess it depends
you don't want water.
Body goes because for me, if I'm well lubricated, then my saliva does not need to enter into the mouth and make a lot of extra noises. Anyway, it's like that game is probably very good. And I, you know, Greg Kasavin did the writing on that. He's a good dude, a long time pal, but
LCP.
I just can't play them, and it feels weird.
I want you to check out a link I just dropped into the general chat.
Uh-oh, link in the chat.
The Places You'll Go movie announced, produced by J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, not really? Just it's the launch of a Dr. Seuss universe.
Jesus, shut my face off.
Oh, man.
Shoot me in the throat with a bow and arrow.
The Places I'll Go do not include to this movie, I'll tell you that.
Man, I know it's real easy these days to conjure a cynical opinion about entertainment franchises.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Though this is like real big fish in a real tiny barrel.
Yes.
Is what this is regarding the yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. The shootability
of Dr. Seuss universe. They already had a Cat in the Hat movie and a Grinch movie. Are they going to remake and reboot those?
They're probably going to retcon them. Laura, I don't know what Panopticon is.
What is Panopticon?
Wait.
He doesn't know.
The word, the term?
No, maybe I guess I know what this is to such a limited degree that I'm getting it wrong. That paranormal, maybe? No. Didn't you work on a thing that starts with a P and it's the second one?
Pathologic 2, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. What is that?
Pathologic is like a Russian survival horror game that's like literary. And when I was in college, I was entranced by the idea of playing it, but could never get into it very deeply. There was a Rock, Paper, Shotgun article series about it that just was enthralling because it was so strange. And Pathologic 2 is kind of a remake of the first game, and I was thrilled to work on it because I had wanted to play the first one so badly and just could not because it was just like so badly localized and so difficult to play. And Pathologic 2 like fixes all the shit that is wrong with Pathologic 1, and it's a better story. It's
How does it play?
You run around a city. There's a plague. Everybody's dying of a plague. You're a doctor. In Pathologic 1, you can be one of three different doctors with three different backgrounds. So they have like three different stories. But in Pathologic 2, there's only one of the three doctors is playable. And you have to talk to people and solve mysteries and cure them of the plague or they die. And then you can also fight people and you can get sick and bleed to death and shit like that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was curious because I would say that I don't understand about 30% of what you write on Twitter because a lot of it is like some literary thing. And I'm like,
oh no,
what is that? and so then when you started talking about Pathologic 2, I was like, is this what those literary things were about? Or is this one of those literary things? I don't know. You're
like,
always right.
I didn't see a literary thing that I tweet. Please send it to me so that I can gain a metric in my head for what that might mean.
Hey,
then
Brandon,
I might be able to explain it to you after the fact.
Brandon, seems like you need a little help following the Pathologic.
Yeah, whoa. That's right. It's too right. What do we got going on over in Tim Town? He's got some sort of a conversation.
Some kind of ruckus.
Yeah.
Oh, it just started pouring over here.
Oh, this is just the sound of him peeing.
God.
I want to get the politics out of video games.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Somebody had the god darn guts to link me personally via Discord message to a change.org petition. Don't even need to describe what it was for.
Just no. Any
change.org petition. The politics out of video games?
No, it was actually something less stupid than that.
Oh.
It was okay. It was a change.org petition that was we petitioned that CD Projekt Red shouldn't make their employees crunch anymore. And someone was like, this could really use your signal boost given your platform. I believe that if you, I'm like, man, I got a lot of opinions here, but like, I'm not going to signal boost.
I don't think a change.org petition is going to,
if the media hadn't already influenced this, a change.org petition is absolutely not going to.
Has a change.org petition ever influenced something?
No. Probably something.
Yeah. So Trader Joe's took off their, Trader Juan and Trader
they did
Trader Jose or something probably
Trader Jose and Trader Wong I guess it was
they
got rid of that branding because of a change.org thing. But I think the real reason was because then they could say that they were doing something about something without actually addressing any larger problems that they have.
I mean, I think the greatest failing of change.org is that it never got Neil Young to change his name to Neil Old.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
Nicole Kidman never became a Nicole Daltman or anything like that.
And Gary Oldman never became Very Old Man.
Yeah, he didn't.
Yeah, there was a lot of Shrek.
It's weird how much Shrek there was. And, you know, I rewatched Shrek. Not that bad.
No,
it's gross.
It was fine.
Yeah. Oh, the first one? Yeah.
The first one.
It's fine.
And I think there are more Smash Mouths in there than just All-Star. I think there's like another song.
Yeah, they do a cover of The Monkees' Believer at the end.
That's right. Yes.
Like, my favorite tweet of all time is when somebody said to the Smash Mouth account, "You only had one hit and it was in Shrek." And they replied, "Excuse me, we had three hits and only two of them were in Shrek."
They were seeming really progressive and cool for a long time, but they recently did like a anti-mask concert or something.
Yeah.
Mm. Wait, who did? Cool. Smash Mouth?
Smash Mouth, Smash Mouth.
Oh, yeah, that's weird.
It's unfortunate because they're pretty progressive all up until that point.
Well. Yeah, well, all right. I mean, unfortunately, the word mouth is inextricable from the name of the band, and without their mouths, you know, they can't really have a show, right?
Mm-hmm, living. Mm-hmm.
You kind of see where they're coming from.
Sure. Point.
That's a joke.
Oh, that's true.
Was it?
I was going to wonder if anyone was watching Raised by Wolves.
No. RBW. No, I don't know what that is. What is it?
That is a HBO Max show about the premise is that there's a war between a world religion and atheists, and everybody loses and the earth gets destroyed.
Hmm.
And so everyone's sending people, wants to send people off, to the one known planet in the universe that could support human life. And so the religious people make an ark that will take many years to get there to this planet. And they put like 1,000 people on that ark.
Uh-huh.
All religious people, of course. But atheists who don't have the technology to support human life in space, they send two reprogrammed androids and a bunch of dormant human fetuses. And they send a much faster craft to get there first. And so the androids with their little atheist fetuses, they grow up those fetuses and turn them into children and raise yeah. them for a while. And then the religious people arrive, and that's the premise of it. And Ridley Scott directs the first two episodes. It's kind of interesting and unnerving. I'm curious.
I have heard of this, and it is on my like back burner list of stuff to watch. So I will watch that.
Yeah, I just started Money Heist. What do y'all think of Money Heist?
I think it's kind of a silly name. Like, what else are you gonna heist? I guess jewels.
Yeah,
information. Jewels. Can you heist information?
Did you ever see the film Money Train? It's a decent film.
I never did.
Snipes, Harrelson. Yeah. When are Snipes and Harrelson going to get back together and make another film? Come on.
I think Snipes is kind of on the lower tier at this point in terms of
career. He's got a real social media following now.
That's true.
He's like kind of building up. I follow him.
You know, the comic book series Quantum and Woody is based on the premise, what if Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson were superheroes?
Oh, that's kind of weird, but cool.
Yeah, it's all right.
October 6th, Wesley Snipes tweeted, "Racism is the deadliest pandemic of all." Period. Excellent.
That's good.
That's pretty good.
He likes tweet. I tweeted at him once to just tell him, "I'm like, I'm watching Blade over here, dude." I'm like, I tweeted literally, "I'm watching Blade over here, and you're really tearing it up, Daywalker." And he liked it. So that's all there is to it.
I just rewatched. No, I guess I watched it for the first time. I watched Blade 2.
Oh, and, yeah, Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, and I had this curious experience where, you know, I had just started playing Death Stranding. Oh, I guess
Guillermo del Toro was in Death Stranding. Yeah, you mentioned this in the other day. You said it was Norman Reedus. And I wanted to say Guillermo del Toro was also in Death Stranding, and he's the director of Blade 2.
And I realized that Blade 2 is probably my favorite Guillermo del Toro movie, because I don't really like his movies.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen what's it called? I don't know. Who cares?
That's right.
Have you seen Pan's Labyrinth? Have you seen that one?
Yeah, I've seen that one. That one's all right.
It's okay. I mean, yeah, I can't really.
I just saw Kronos. Did not like that one.
Kronos. Have you seen The Relic?
Oh, yeah. God.
Wait, is that him? That is him, isn't it?
No, that's not him.
Oh, I thought it was him.
Did you know the original title for Pan's Labyrinth was Bread Maze?
Oh.
That's not true.
Amigo Tarly.
Yeah.
I'm gonna share the specific horror game thing that I was talking about earlier.
Okay.
I've been advising this guy who previously made a game called My Last Friday, or a demo of a game anyway, and he's working on a game right now called Desolate Roads, and there's an antagonist in the game. It's a small like horror vignette kind of thing. And there's an antagonist that can kill you when you're outside of a car, but if you get inside of a car, you're safe. And so the guy would just sort of lurk outside of your car. And it was scary at first, but once you know for sure that you're safe in there, it winds up just becoming you're waiting for the guy to go away. And so
is it a video game adaptation of the song Cars, where you're in my car, I feel safest of all?
Yeah, that's where it came from. Actually, if we could pose that as an angle, I think it would actually get a lot more traction. So what I proposed they do is that this antagonist is constantly trying to push into your car. And they're all like staticky and fiery, but the staticky thing was important to me because I was like, okay, all these cars still have battery power. They have they can't drive, but they have battery power. And so you have to tune a radio to the right frequency to force the guy out of your car, and it solved the problem because now there was something to do and another threat and another way you could die. Like he was actually encroaching upon you.
What is this part of?
This is a game called Desolate Roads that I've been advising the design of.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's this guy named Gabor from Hungary, and he was part of this thing called Global Top Round, which was an investment.
That sounds like a cut of beef.
It does. Yeah, it totally does. It was an investment competition where a bunch of folks competed to get like $40,000 in exchange for 10% of their company, which I did not think was a very good deal. But I was an advisor on this. And there were like 13 finalists or 15, something like that. And so we all had to vote on which ones would be given the grant. And one of them was this guy, Gabor Dandar, who made this My Last Friday game, which was in Unreal Engine 3, was extremely good demo, survival horror thing with interesting ideas in it and good puzzles and stuff. It was the only game out of all of them that was fun to play. And it, at that time, already had about 8 to 10 million YouTube views from YouTubers who had played this demo.
I told you about all these like indie horror games. That's the one thing that exactly seems to get any traction.
And so I was like, obviously this is the one that we're going to choose. Like this is going to be number one for everybody. But this was a Korean competition, and nobody was really into or understanding single player games that didn't have like a free to play element or some other stuff. And so they wound up voting for everything but this, and it did not get through, which was so the wrong choice, just absolutely incorrect. And so because I was so upset about it, I told him that I would help him with whatever game he was working on forever.
Oh, nice.
And so I've been kind of trying to mentor him, and this is the third small game that he's been working on since My Last Friday, but this one's actually going to come out, and it's shaping up real nice.
That sounds neat.
Very good.
That's what I had to say about that.
Sounds good to me.
Thanks.
Last Friday. It sounds like he's had several Fridays after that.
He's had
something Final Fantasy.